This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. In the years following the Second World War, cities looked a lot different than they did before. Technological and scientific advances pressed us into the modern age. It's a change of perspective that affected just about everything in American life, including architecture. In places like Los Angeles, the New York suburb of New Canaan, Connecticut, and Chicago, leading architects were designing homes that reflected this new way of thinking. It's a style known today as modernist, and among the places that caught the modernist wave was the New School of Design at North Carolina State University. Well, that school celebrates its 60th anniversary this year, and joining us today to talk about its legacy is George Smart. He is an enthusiastic fan and founder of the website TriangleModernistHouses.com. George, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What got you so excited about modernist architecture?
Well, I was innocently Googling one day about 2 years ago and knew that because my dad was an architect in Raleigh that there were a number of modernist houses around, but I could only find five. Well, more Googling led to about 10, and I started putting together a document. By the time my count got up to 50, people were telling me, George, you should start a website. So I started a website.
There was a time when they would say, George, you should write a book. So you see how things have
exactly
changed. You should start a website. You get up to 50, and you're up to how many now?
We're up to 600-something,
wow.
640.
So what? How did the modernist movement find its way to the Triangle?
It found its way here through a variety of sources, but primarily through the new dean of what was then called the School of Design at NC State, Henry Kemphefner. He was working in Oklahoma at the architecture school there and got a job here to start the new School of Design for NC State. And he brought with him a number of very, very talented professors and students from Oklahoma to make a core of talented modernist faculty and staff that would have a heyday throughout the 40s, 50s, and the 60s.
And this was, as you said, this began back in the 50s for NC State?
Yes, in the late 40s.
So in the late 40s, this school and these ideas find their way to North Carolina State. Now, did they make their way into onto the lots of North Carolina residents and Raleigh residents?
Well, the faculty was encouraged to have a practice on the side in architecture. And so people would approach these faculty, and the faculty were more than willing to put out these new, wonderful designs in various places around Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. George Matsumoto was one of these faculty. He's very well known. Eduardo Catalano, who did the Catalano House, we'll talk about a little bit later, and a variety of others were bringing forth new ideas that people either really liked or really didn't like.
Well, that was my next question, is did it really catch on, or was it just a kind of a pet project of the academy?
It didn't catch on like a fad. It caught on here, which is why we have so many houses. But still, it's a very tiny fraction of the overall housing stock.
Yeah, but it's kind of a big proportion. I understand that North Carolina, Raleigh now, is like the fourth largest sort of place for modernist homes
we
in the
are.
Country.
But still, that may represent less than 1/4 of 1% of all the homes built.
Sure. And when we're talking about modernist, what do we mean?
What we're talking about modernist are houses that are characterized by features such as flat or low-pitched roofs, open spaces, extensive use of glass and light to bring the outside in, and combined spaces such as having your living room and dining room and kitchen be all one room. People are a little more familiar with this concept, say, in vacation or beach or resort houses that tend to use that same kind of concept.
And what's the theory behind modernist? I mean, what was the compelling factor in this particular design? Was it the use of light, the use of space, or just to look a little different?
Well, there are various theories, from the advancement of materials like iron and steel and concrete to social movements. Personally, I just think that it's because you feel different when you go in one of these structures. I mean, for example, with churches, we know that when you go into a magnificent church, you have this feeling. And certainly God is part of that, but the church also has something to do with it. Yeah. If you go into a modernist house, it just feels, after a while, very relaxing. You don't feel the stress you might. It's more than just a structure. It really is an extension of your environment and a bringing nature in.
Why hasn't it caught on? Why is it not the way we do architecture now?
Just because traditional architecture of smaller rectangular rooms and sort of high-pitched roofs and big attic spaces and things like that is just what people like, typically.
You kind of want to live in the place you grew up in a way.
Exactly.
You had mentioned the Catalano House a minute ago. This is one that's gained international fame. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more about it.
Eduardo Catalano, who was one of the professors that Camp Hefner brought here in the mid-50s, built himself a very unusual, I think it was called a hyperparaboloid house off of Ridge Road in Raleigh. It looked like a giant potato chip or a butterfly, various things have been called to it. It was an almost entirely open plan, about 1,800 square feet roughly, all of one room, with only a few closets and the bathroom being a separate walled-off area. And giant glass walls so that the light of the surrounding woods would be coming in. This was internationally famous. It was in a number of different magazines. Frank Lloyd Wright, who was still around at the time, who rarely praised anything, was very kind to this house and to its architect, and it got a lot of press. It was probably Raleigh's and the state's most unusual house for decades.
And what happened to it?
Well, unfortunately, it went through a series of owners. Finally, the house began to have some structural problems. It was ultimately abandoned. Vandals got to it, teenagers, structural issues, rain. And by the time a rescue attempt was put together, it was really too late. And the house was destroyed in 2001.
And I understand it was that, the demise of that house, that really got you interested in protecting.
Absolutely. These houses are more than just places to live. They really are large works of art. And our organization is set up to help preserve those and get them in the hands of new caring owners so they don't get torn down.
You know, it's interesting. If we talked about Raleigh being the fourth largest place to find these houses. The others are locations I mentioned earlier, you know, New Canaan, Connecticut, Los Angeles, Chicago. These places all had a particular architect, who well-known architect, was responsible for the movement in those cities. And here it seems it was the university.
Absolutely.
That was the sponsor of this kind of thing.
And we're having a tour this weekend to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the School of Design, which is now called the College of Design at NC State, where we'll be having six modernist homes available for the public to go to. Right now, the tour is just about completely sold out. We will have probably 10 to 12 tickets available at registration if people want to try to get in.
And you have a website that's really collected all of these, so if we want to take a virtual tour, we can do it.
At TriangleModernistHouses.com, we have now over 3,000 different pictures of houses, almost all in this area, some of which don't exist anymore, some of which have had different incarnations that they've been renovated, and extensive biographies of all the different modernist architects who put those together.
Is modernist still modern, or is it now a kind of a time capsule? It has what we would consider the most advanced architectural techniques moved beyond what we would consider modernist.
Well, I'm pleased to say that modernist architecture is on the rise again. Like anything, it had a life cycle. It was popular from the early 50s until about the mid-60s, and then went dormant for a long time. Now we have some incredible houses going up in this area. Ellen Cassily, who is an architect in Durham, just built a house for herself in Chapel Hill, which is absolutely magnificent. And we had that on our tour last month.
Is there a marriage of green architecture and modernist that we see today with the interest now in green architecture?
Yes. Green architecture, sustainable architecture, all of that has come together with modern design and the advancement of material science. One of the criticisms of modern architecture in the past was if you had a house with a flat roof, you were going to have all kinds of problems, you were going to have leaks, things like that. Now that materials have caught up, that's no longer really an issue. So you can do terrific things and the materials will keep up with you.
Now, this is not your day job, is it? You are very interested in this and keep us all up to date, but what do you do when you're not keeping the website up?
I have run a management consulting and executive coaching firm for the last 25 years called Strategic Development.
And you said your father was an architect,
mm-hmm,
so
yes.
that had a lot to do with your just...
Yes, my interest is mostly genetic, not professional.
I see.
And I've talked to many children of architects about this.
You something have a support
just,
group, do you?
Just seeps in. Hi, I'm George, and I'm child of an architect. Hi, George.
You all sit around commiserating about having to sharpen pencils all day.
And deal with old blueprint machines which reeked of ammonia.
Ooh. Well, so tell us again about the tour. There's still a couple of spots open, you say?
Still a few spots open. It will be assembling at 3105 Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh, which is a large office parking lot. From there, participants will take our bus fleet, which will go in a circular pattern. People can hop on or hop off the buses at stops at the different houses.
All right. Well, George, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Talking today with George Smart. He is an enthusiast and one who is preserving the architectural legacy of the modernist movement in the Triangle. Thank you very much for being with us, George. And coming up, blues man John D. Holman turns 80 years old on The State of Things. Well, almost. The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.